Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara on Ches Amud Beis. We're 8 lines from the bottom, continuing in the final part of the discussion about the halachas of the Shiva. So it says the Gemara, Amar Ula, V'amar Le Marsisa Tana, Asara Kosas Tignu Beveis Ha'avel, that the Chachamim instituted 10 cups of wine for the house of mourning. Shlosha Kodem Achila Kedeftochas Meyav, Shlosha Basocha Achila Kedeftochas Achila Shmeyav, Arba Achar Achilasan. So the beginning, you want to open up your stomach to be able to eat properly, to eat the food before the meal, and then 3 while you're eating the meal, and for the fourth one to be able to have at the end of the meal. So Rashi points out, what are we having these 10 cups for? Rashi says, because of the pasuk in Mishlei, Tnu Sheichel Ovid V'yayin L'Marei Nefesh, a person should be giving wine to people whose souls are very bitter, and we know that an Avar, Rachman Latzon, is very sad. And wine, the Gemara in Erevin tells us, I think it's Erevin, the Gemara says that the whole purpose of wine was the Nechume Avelim, is to be able to give them comfort. They're in such a sad state that the little bit of wine as an outlet is going to be something which is beneficial to them. This is something a lot of people get confused about, that they think that it's usher to drink wine during the Shiva, as we just pointed out from these two sources, the Pasuk in Mishlei and the Gemara in Erevin. It is certainly to the contrary, it's the exact opposite. The reason B'Pashtas people get confused is the Chora based on the upcoming time of the 9 days that we have, where we are makbid not to have meat and wine, and those are for two different reasons. Of Soloveitchik had a whole shtekel Torah about why we don't have meat and wine during the time period of the 9 days. I don't have time to get into it, but there is a fundamental difference, and that is nothing to do with the lachas of Avelos. It's a different point of Zeichel L'Chorban. So now going back to the Gemara says that we have these 10. So what are they? So we said, Echad Keneged Berachas Hazan, the first bracha, Berachas Hamazon, Echad Keneged Berachas Aretz, Echad Keneged Bonei Shelayim, Echad Keneged Kol Tamitis. The first four are Keneged the four brachas that we say in Benching. Osif Aleihem Arba, they add another four. Echad Keneged Chazan Ha'ir, for those who are the people taking care of the things in the town, as Rashi points out, those were people like the Chevra Kadisha. Echad Keneged Parnasei Ha'ir, those were those who were being able to pay for the poor people's burials. Echad Keneged Beis Hamikdash, to the Beis Hamikdash. There was also the distress for the people mourning the Beis Hamikdash as well. Ve'echad keneged ragab magab Gamliel. As the Gemara is going to state, what did Rabban Gamliel do? That they have a cup of like a toast as a cup of wine for Rabban Gamliel. Shkolya shows the mishtaka that people used to drink so much wine they were getting drunk at the shiva houses. So they went back to its original practice, which is a shaila in the Rishonim, what exactly what it was, the original system of the 10 cups, or other Rishonim explain that they meant that the original system only having a little bit during the meal, and that is based on the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk like Dan Yerodea, that we don't have these 10 cups, we don't have the meaning of having 10 cups, we just have a little bit during the meal, and that's all we have. Just a little bit, not too much. So the Gemara asks now, my Rabbi Gamliel, what is this? What did Rabbi Gamliel do? What did Rabbi Gamliel do? The sign of Rabbi Gamliel says, "Barishonai yisay yotas ames kasha lekrov yosar mimisasai." That originally, that the actual dealing with the burial was more painful to the relatives than the actual death of the person who died. What happened is that they used to have, you know, sometimes we have these lavish things for things that also don't really make so much sense. Well, we have to have such fancy things in life that aren't really, you know, like wedding rings and things like that, whatever. So they used to have the lavish, very lavish burial to show what a chashuv person is. Well, they would bury them, as she says, with like silk, expensive garments, to show how chashuv this person was. So the poor people who were related to the guy, they would be so embarrassed to show that they're burying their honored father, whoever it was, honored brother, without any of these silk garments. So they'd be so embarrassed, they would just leave him on the Chevra Kadisha offices and run away. Gamliel fixed this by acting in himself in a manner of tremendous humility by being taken out with very simple linen garments, which weren't too very expensive. Gamliel only took himself out in Klei Pishtan, so then, you know, get a gadol to do something. So then most of the time, the Klal Yisrael followed along, they followed suit, and that was a tremendous chus that Gamliel had. We see from over here that the Meiri says that we see that every person who is in a position of leadership, it'd be nice for him to be able to act in a sense of humility, even if he has the means to be able to afford more, to show an example for people that this is the financial situation you need to have, and not more than that. If they could live more modestly, even though he has the ability to have more, that is something which is recommended. So says the Gemara, so therefore they used to have this cup in honor of Rabban Gamliel at the Shiva houses, remembering the chesed that he did.
Says the Gemara, I'm going to Papa Vaidna no gama filibit tarzina barzudar. And nowadays people even have less than that in a type of a canvas type of material, and that's even something that's that. Okay. Now we're up to the crux of Daf Tes of the Gemara of Ksubas. This is one of the most famous Dafim in the Olam HaYeshivos. This is people spend, when I was in Yeshiva, I remember, we learned this Daf for around, I think, 5 to 6 weeks. We're talking about 3-4 hours every single day with Chazara at night. So we're spending, I don't want to say hundreds of hours, but probably close to that, on this one Daf. And then I remember my Rebbe giving shir and saying that in Daf Yomi they spend 30 minutes on this. So it's scary because I'm in that position of giving this Daf, which you could literally, as I had once done in my life, spend hours and hours upon hours on the different nuances and the lambdas behind the things that are going on in this Daf. I'll try to mention just the broader points that you hear, at least some of the ideas that are mentioned in the Rishonim and Achronim over here. But you should realize that, as I say for every Daf, that this is obviously, there's so much more that can be done, but here Mamish, this is something that's one of the most famous Dapim in all of Shas in terms of the depth and the breadth of things that you could get in terms of the different klalim that come up about Rov and Chazaka and Sveik Sveika and Bari Vishema and the Shavinash Chaticha Yisrael, all these things that we're going to see. So that comes out over here. Okay, so let's start with this. So it's important to note that there really are two things that a person would be able to tell whether the wife that wife to be is a besula, if she had not had previously had any relations before. So that the first thing is that obviously the bleeding that comes out by the rupturing of the hymen, I still don't pronounce, I think it's called that, pronounce hymen, and that would be the way that it's broken. And the second thing is actual the way of feeling it by having bia, that it should feel different for the first time, that it should be tighter and not opened. If it's more open, then it's something which is a sign that maybe this woman is actually in fact not a besula. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Lazar, turning on to Tesamud Aleph, Ha'omer Pesach Masuach Matasi. So if he claims that he was able, as we mentioned before, he's able to go penetrate straight without having any issues, so that would be something which is going to be a claim, open entrance, that she's a sign that she's not a basula. Neman la'osro alav. So he'd be believed to forbid her by stating this point. He's raising an issue, saying that maybe she is somebody that is usher to him. This would be the concept of shavya nafshe chaticha de isura, that a person has the ability to shaf an isra, to create an isra on himself by stating a statement. This is a whole shayla. The Ktos Hachoshen discusses this at length. What is the ne'emanus of shavya nafshe chaticha de isura? To short off, Baruch Hashem, so I can at least mention a lot of these things outside without having been so nervous about not finishing it. So what exactly is the nemanus of Shavya Nefshe Chaticha D'Yisura? The Chitzos HaShulchan has a famous chakir about this, where he quotes two different explanations. One is maybe that this is a concept of neder, that we are a person is making a neder, ki'ilu, that this woman is making a neder to himself, that this is going to be usher to him, and that is going to be something that is going to be something which we would be believing him. There's nothing to do with evidence or any raya whatsoever, that's the halacha over here, that we made mitzad neder. It would be enough communities between how we understand it, and we don't have time to get into them, but that you should just know that this is machlokas. The other tzad that he has is that it's similar more to, there is a ne'emanus, it's not just a din. It's all shayla, is it a din or a ne'emanus? Here it's a ne'emanus on shavanash chaticha d'yisura, and the ne'emanus is similar to that of hodah seidim kamei ha'edim dami, that if I could say something and edim come and contradict what I said, it doesn't matter. I could say, if I said I owe Reuven lent me money yesterday, I owe him $1 million. So Edom, come say you were in China yesterday. It couldn't have been that Reuven lent you the money. So there's edus to show that I made up the story that I don't owe $1 million. We say it doesn't matter. That's an emunus that I have that is stronger than any koach of edus whatsoever. So that is going to be others say different explanations, but that is a fundamental shaila of what is the nemanus over here. So here he is believed, by stating this, we believe that he is going to be Asr Hermitad Sota Asr Labaila. A person who cheats, a woman who cheats, is a very big problem, unfortunately. Well, it's not if this happens in a frum place where a woman cheats on her husband, so there's a very big shayla. She's not allowed to be remaining with her husband. That's the Isra of Sota Asr Labaila. So here, if he didn't know about it for sure, but he thinks this way, and he thinks that she's not a basula, he would be asering her. So now the Gemara asks, "Why? Why should that be? That we, even if we believe his claim that she's not a basula, maybe in fact she's not going to be aser because we have what's called a sveik sveika. Who there's a double-sided question whether or not we should aser this woman to him. One is suffik taftav, suffik ein taftav." that the first question is really, remember, there was a stage of erusin and nisuin. So he used to wait a whole year, but she was fully married level to Raisa. If she cheated on him for that at any point during that year, she's an Asr Sota Asur Labaila. So in a situation over here where she may have cheated him, maybe she really had, she just had be as a promiscuous lady before they were married, that the right, that there's in college or something like that. So she'd be then, she's not gonna be Asr to him. The second thing, even if you say that it was during this interim, this 1 year period where she was fully married and leveled to Raisa, they just didn't do Nisun yet, that she had relations with a man, maybe Safek Bonus, Safek Beratzon, maybe we have a double set of Safek, which would tell us that we can be Mekel. The whole Shaila is over here. The Gemara doesn't say where or why is the source for the Sveik Sveika being allowed to be Mekel on the Sveik Sveika. Where do we see that this should be allowed? So this is also a big shayla based on Rishonim. Their Achronim discusses at length that the Ne'amanos of Sveik Sveika, one shita is based on the Rambam. The Sheish Meitzah is a famous Sheish Meitzah about this, very long Sefer. So he discusses this as well. The Rambam, and famously in Hilchos Tumas Meis, discusses the concept of Safek to Oraisa Lechumra. Safek to Oraisa Lechumra is that, let's say I'm not sure I shook lulav again. So Safek to Oraisa Lechumra tells me I have to on the first day of Sukkah. So I have a chiyuv to shake lulav. Or it could be with the course of Isser V'Hetter. I'm not sure if something is kosher or treif. This may be a bad example, type of chazaka. But if something which I'm not sure is usher or mutter to me, and if it's a suffix on the level of the Raisa, I have to machmer assume a thing is usher. So who told me that that's usher? Is that an Isser? Is that a din de Raisa that I have to machmer, or a din de Rabbanan? So that's a machlokas Rishonim between the Rashba and the Rambam. The Rambam held that that whole din is a din de Rabbanan. So which would mean that the fact that I'm being machmer on shaking a lulav again, or being machmer on this food that might be usher to me because it's a suffix deraisa, that itself is a din derabanan. So now if I have another derabanan, so on that, so I'm being machmer in the first shayla, but now I have another suffix thrown into it, so then that whole din now is a din derabanan, it turns into a din derabanan, and suffix derabanan, lekula. That's how they want to explain, that the Rambam could explain very nicely, that is the way many Achronim want to explain, for anybody who holds that suffix derabanan, suffix deraisa lechumra is all din derabanan, that is the mechanism in which suffix sveika is working. So, but if you hold like the Rashba, or any other Rishonim that hold suffix deraisa lechumra as a din deraisa, so you're stuck. How do you explain the Ne'amanus of Sveika? So based on the Rashba himself and the Tshuvas, the Pnei Yeshua and others want to explain that it's based on the concept of Rov. Based on the concept of Rov, since that we have this suffix and this other suffix to you, now there's probably a Rov chance that this thing is mutter to you, and that's why this is going to be mutter. It's important to know why Sveik Sveika works, because Rosh Hashanah always like to say in Shir, Baruch Hashem had this chosen learning Ksuvos 2 years in a row. And it's Shas Katan, so it was very Gishmak. I was so happy that I did. It was Gishmak. So I'll be quoting hopefully a lot more things than from Rosh Hashanah than I normally do. Baruch Hashem, I think I do quote him a decent amount of time, but like every moment I have something to say from the Dapin that we did, at least. It's only the first 30 Dapin. But most yeshivas, they cover like 7-8 plot, 10 plot max. So we did 30 dapa, which is a lot. Anyway, so Rosh Hashanah said that Sveik Sveika is a very limited in Shas. We don't see Sveik Sveika so often. He was upset, but disagreed highly with Rav Avadya that every time Rav Avadya has Sveik Sveika, every tshuva, but tons of tshuvas, Rav Avadya is always saying Sveik Sveika as a reason to make, oh, these Rishonim held this, so that's one suffix, and then really maybe we say something else, and maybe this really didn't happen, so then we could say Sveik Sveika and be Mekel. Like one thing that's popping in my head, Rav Avadya, like, Svartim hold, more chumra, a very big chumra with regards to the Shechitas Beis Yosef, that you'll see much more now popular. They actually find Shechitas Beis Yosef, but for Svardim, it's Mamash Adin. So the Shaila is, they invited to an Ashkenazi, are they allowed to eat? Bechlal, eat there. According to them, it's Mamash Treif, if it's not a level of Beis Yosef. So Ravadia has a famous tshuva, which is Sveik Sveika, that maybe something really it is Beis Yosef, maybe it's not. And because we don't know, maybe this particular piece of meat is okay or not, if it's Beis Yosef or not. And secondly, maybe the Ramah's right. So he says Sveik Sveika, it's not necessarily an issue. Okay, I don't remember if that's a maskana, but that's just something that's popping in my head. But that's something that he raised. Rosh Hashanah didn't like that. He didn't think that you owe the right to always say a Sveik Sveika. It's limited cases. We have to know exactly the parameters of when to mention. Okay, we ought to continue. I think I might actually be stuck on the time. There's so much to discuss on this wonderful daf of Gemara. So says the Gemara Vaita. So again, just getting back to the Pashup Shad. So again, there is a Shaila whether or not Bechal this woman's usher to him. So why should we say that this woman is going to be Bechal usher? So says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha Be'eshes Koyim. Talking about a case, you're right, meaning the Gemara is saying essentially right, that if there's two Sveikos, Yitaka could be Meka. So why over here we're being Machmir? Because there's really only one Sveik. Because we know Eshes Koyim, Rashi points out, and Eshes Koyim, that's Nensa, is going to be usher Labaila, that would be not, that an Eshes Koyim is a higher level, a standard of a Koyim, if he can't have relations with anyone who's been a geula before under his watch while he's been married, even if she's nansa. So the Gemara says, "V'ibaseima be'eshes Israel." Or you could say that with regards to an eshes Israel, meaning a non-kohen, even a non-kohen, and what would be that case? Kigon tekibul avekadushin p'shkusim b'ashalashon v'yom echad, where the father accepted her marriage on behalf of her, that would be a level of doraisa being married, less than 3 years old. What does that mean? Because if she was in fact had bia any time before the age of three, the matzias is that the Gemara says that the besulim is chozer, that hymen would heal itself. And we would assume that she would then be able to be, she would be a basula. She would still be considered a basula, and basula and still have dam basulim. So therefore, the only suffix over here is whether it was under the, because it was definitely when the man was married. So the suffix of whether it was tachtav or inu tachtav is not a suffix anymore, because it was vaday tachtav. She was definitely married to him at any point that she possibly could have had an issue with not having her basulim come back. So the only Shiloh would be, was it on Esarot? So that's only one suffix. So Tos is very bothered by, is that really true though? Is that really, isn't there a concept based on the Gemara in Yevamos? The Gemara says that a pitoy ketana is onus, that if a person seduces a woman below age of bas mitzvah with regard to a ketana, so she's going to be onus. She's not going to be usher because her das isn't fully there. She's not mentally there, so she's considered as if it was beyond her control, and she would not be punished for that. So if that's the case, so that's like onus. So then hadar kush l'duchte, we really do have two sveikos, because maybe it happened before she was bas mitzvah, maybe not, and maybe also the other shayla is bichlal is maybe the other shayla that we have is onus ratzon. Here we have maybe it happened before the age of 13, and then also even if it happened after age of 12 rather, and even if it happened after the age of 12, maybe also she was onus as well after that age. So those point out because shame onus chadu, which there is a lot of literature of what exactly that means, but be'etzem, since it's really the same question, just being asked in different ways, was she onus or ratzon? It doesn't matter that the question is changed a little bit after the age of 12, but since it's only one question at the end of the day, so therefore that one question is going to be the question that's not called two different sfeikos. That gets into also, do we take this even further and say it has to be a sfeik sfeika hamis apich? Does it have to be something which can be asked in both directions? Based on this Tosos, they want to say maybe further than the Tosos, maybe even that. Okay, we have to go by Tosos. Says the Gemara, that would be another way of only having one question. So the Gemara asks, what's Bichal the Chiddush Rabbi Lazar? My Kamashpulan. Tanina, as if we didn't say enough yet. So the Gemara says that, don't we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah Kedushin tells us, if a man says to a woman that I married you, but he marries, look at their son. She says, I'm not married to you, you're a crazy guy, who are you? But John from the street, I never married you. He'd been there, but we don't have Eden. He's claiming there were Eden, but they ran away. So they went away on a vacation, so I don't have them. She's saying there was no such thing, lo hayav and lo nivra, so he doesn't have any Eden, so he can't just make her aser him. However, so says the Mishnah, so the halacha is that he mutar is bekrova, who aser bekrova seya. So he can aser, there's relatives, you're not allowed to marry a woman's sister, not allowed to marry a woman's mother, that's midaraisa aser. So he is aser to marry this woman's sister and marry this woman's mother because he said he's married to her. However, she's not considered a chazaka of Esa Shish. She's totally allowed to marry to everybody. She can marry everybody. She can marry everybody who's related to him. She can marry everybody in the world. That's okay. So the Gemara says, Ma, the same. So why is that case in Kedushin a little bit different? Because Asam Devade Kimle. Based on that Mishnah, you would have said that one becomes forbidden by his own words only when there where he knows for certain whether or not he married her, or he's claiming for certain. However, maybe over here we shouldn't necessarily believe him. That's a Shiloh, why not? So Rashi explains, because the Chassan doesn't really know how to have Bia. So how does he know what a Pesach Besulah Bichlal feels like? He knows he's had Bia before? No. So the Chora, he is going to mistakenly make this claim. We don't really know. So that's why it's not necessarily Kamash Man or Belazar teaching us the Kiddush, that even here we would believe him to assume Pesach Masuach because of Shavu Nafshei Chaticha Deisura. And even though it could be a mistake, that's his own expense, his own problem, and therefore we believe him. So the Gemara asks now, Miyamara Belazar Achid, did Belazar really say this halacha? Did Belazar really say that a woman who is going to be Asr to her husband based on the fact that you say Pesach Masuach? So it says the Gemara, and doesn't Rabbi Lazar tell us that a man can only asher his woman to him if you have something similar to a sota, and the sota has to be if you warn his wife before witnesses not to to seclude herself with a specific person. So then, if that's kina vistira, then if she secludes herself, then she would be asher. Which is similar to a maisa shaya between Davin and Basheva, which the Gemara is going to discuss more at length in the Hamshach. So just like David and Abiyah Bat Sheva, that was going to be mutter. So then only in that case would be mutter. But otherwise, if it's something with Edim and a kin of Esther, then it's going to be Asher. But if you don't have that, that's going to not necessarily be Asher. So says the Gemara Baiter. So Vitizbra, do you really think that Rabbi Lazar actually said this? How could it be? With regard to Maisa Shahaya, is it really true? Maisa Shahaya, Bekina Vistir Hava. Was there any seclusion in Maisa Shahaya? Meaning, even the Batshama definitely had probably done Yichud, but there was no warning of Uriah never warned her. Uriah was the husband of Batshama. He never warned her not to be secluded with David. He didn't suspect David. And also, did anyone ever ask her Batshama to marry David HaMelech? No. Because it had Batsheva been Aser to Uriah, as a result of being a Sota, so the halacha is Kishim Shaser le Baal Kach Asura le Boal. So she would have been Aser to David as well. So it can't be that she's not Aser. That's a little Shaila. Why not? If they had Bia, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. The old Miasura, so then really, they didn't really Aser her. So, again, there's so much here. So I'm holding myself back already. I have to go weiter, but there's a lot here. So the Gemara says, "Hello, Kashi Achikamar. In Aisha Netzaras Al Baila Ella Aliske Kina Vestira." That a woman does not become usher to her husband except through having a manner of being warned, and then her subsequent not listening to that warning, heeding to that warning, and secluding herself. At least with one aid after that. Meaning you have to warn her with two, and then afterward aid imba means only one. Mimaisa Shaya from the fact that Batsheva and Dawra Melach, the love of the Kinevist, below Israel, because there was no warning, and therefore she did not become usher to David. So Rebbe Lezer is deriving from the fact that Batsheva did not become usher to Uriah, despite being well with David, that would show that they would not be usher. So the Gemara says, Mikomakom Kasha Kinevistira in, but either way, however you want to resolve what Rabbi Lazar said, Lefori is clearly implying, though, that the only way to get secluded, to be usher, is rather through kiddush, through seclusion, and being forewarned about it. So not pesach v'suach. So this seems to contradict Rabbi Lazar. So says Gemara, Tamayak, was that really true? Based on what you're saying, kinu v'stira in edim lo, that based on what you're saying, that just simply the way to do it is warning and secluding. However, if you actually mamish witnesses who see that this woman had bia with somebody else, you're going to tell me that does not matter? Clearly that would be effective, as Rashi points out. We know kimatza b'erda v'stavar b'shtayim. Clearly, if you see them, that they had bia willingly, then we would believe those edims. So says Gemara, ela achi kamar, ina shenesel b'ayla b'eid echa. A woman does not become usher to her husband through the testimony of a single witness, because it's davar shabar erva, davar, mama, we learn that you need two witnesses. Ela b'shtay edim, you need two witnesses, v'kina v'stira afilu b'eid echa, and kina v'stira is even through single witnesses. Pesach v'snuch, v'shay edim dami. Now, the claim of a pesach v'snuch is like having two witnesses, in that we would believe him and say, at least believe him for himself. The Gemara, according to Rashi, is retracting its earlier position that a woman becomes forbidden only through witnesses. The Gemara is assuming that if you have this pasav asuach, something of the like, that would be something to asher. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, why talk was David allowed to be remained with Batsheva? As we just mentioned, they had via willingly. So the Gemara says, hasam ones hava. There it was ones, the fact that David had told her to come, so, and if she didn't listen to the king, that would be usher. So that's going to be usher. Others explain maybe David actually somewhat violated her, that she didn't want to do it. Others say that no, but we know Batsheva was a ketana. So Batsheva was a ketana, we just mentioned, Peter ketana ones, so she really did it willingly, but she was under the age of Bas Mitzvah, so that is going to be ones. And therefore, if it's ones, then she's only going to be ones with her husband, and therefore, she would be usher to her, she'd be usher, not usher to her husband because it was onus, and therefore she'd be mutter to the boel also, who then also was the one who had bia with her. So Gemara Vibai same another answer, Kiyadar Marav Shmuel Bar Chanan Rabbi Onusan. So Kol Yotza Mechamas based David, so that if you say onusu, the Lechor David Melech did a sin, that's basically the amount of touch that these two answers are telling the Gemara Machlokas and Shabbos, if David Melech really sinned or not. He said, this other answer, I didn't really sin. Kol Yotza Mechamas based David, get Krisus Kofli Ishto. They would have a Tanai. David Melech enacted, anyone who went to war would write a Tanai of a potential get, a divorce to his wife. Why? This was because we don't avoid agunas. If the person died in battle, we couldn't find witnesses that he died, so then she would be permitted to remarry. So that's the shaila exactly how this was done. It's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. According to Rashi's at least the way Tosos understood Rashi, that they had a condition. It was a tanai, get out tanai, that if I don't return, and if I don't return from the war, at the end of this war, then you should be permitted. Since Uriah did in fact die in battle, the get was going to be chal, and therefore as if it was lafreya, therefore David was not really having an adulterous relationship. So the Gemara says, as the pasuk says, that Yishai was asking David, and was asked him, go look at your brother's well-being and take for them an arubos samtika. Go take this aruba. What is this aruba? So says Gemara, Maya was bigach, Tarav Yosef, Dvar Marurim Bilim Valad. Go give them the things that are literally are going to be combining him and her, meaning the get. Go give the bond of marriage that unites them, and go give them to them, meaning you're going to remove it by giving them the go that they should go take their get and obtain them as a, it means that if they die in the war, that they should be, their wives should be spared of being agunas. So this was done. We see that this was earlier. This is Yishai asking his father. Apparently, when David HaMelech saw that this was done, the Ritva points this out. He thought this was a very good idea, and he instituted it. Aye, why is man azeh? Do we not do this? That's what I was wondering when I was learning Ksubas at the time. So what my the person I was learning with at the time was, he went to the army, the Rebbe from Guy, is a very nice person. So he told me, the Rebbe Talmud Chacham, so he told me that more from the Tzilumi community, he told me that that psychologically, apparently, that they really, Pialacha really make sense, but it's like very bad psychologically for them, for the soldiers to do that. It like, it ruins their morale, and it's very bad, so therefore they decided not to do it. And maybe there's other problems also, because we don't know exactly what to do, because there's Machlokas and Tosos, how to do it. So maybe that's also part of it, but he said that was the reason, main reason they don't do it. Says like Amar Bayi, we also learn in a Mishnah that Pesula Nisus Merevi, that the person who's a woman who hasn't been married before, a virgin, is to be married on a Wednesday. The Orvi, Eliam Chavishi Lodai, specifically get married on Wednesday, not a Thursday. So the Mer says, my time, what's the reason to get married on Wednesday? Mishumi Kordaita, we're afraid that he is going to be, he's not going to be as angry with her in, if we let him get married on Thursday, because then he's going to wait all the way to the following Monday to come to Beis Din with his claims. So says the Gemara, what are we so concerned about? That he has to come to Beis Din right on the mic. In the Beis Din Ksuba, if it's the fact that he wants to give her the Ksuba after the divorce, Nesiv La, so who cares? Meaning he's trying to find these witnesses to show that she really had Bia and their Oster James in order that she'd be a Sota. So Sota is not entitled to a Ksuba. So if that's the case, okay, worst comes to worst. Really, if we're only dealing with a monetary claim, that's not the Nishka Ferlech. That's not going to be a reason that we make this whole Takana. So rather, it must be that Basin is going to paskin that she's usher to him. And he must be making a claim which is going to usher to him. So says Gemara, Lachor, what time is going to usher this man to the woman? My love, the Katan, we're talking about the fact that he made this claim that there was a Pesach Pasuach. So that would be a Pesach Pasuach, but really that's the reason. So based on the Rashi and the Beis, that was the whole Shaila. Rashi says the whole reason that we have the Takana was that in order that Edim should come. So what is the Gemara's proof in the Mishnah though, over here? Tosfos is bothered by the very first Mishnah. That's why when you learn Daf Beis, also it's part of Daf Tes, and when you learn Daf Tes, that's why Tes is coming up all the time, and you're learning it Bein. So that's what that Tosfos Kasha was on Rashi over there, is that if that's the Shaila, then what exactly is it? Here we just want Edim to come. So Tosfos really say that Rashi meant to explain why we say every Basula should come, out the Kohen, the Eishes Kohen, and the woman who's married below the age of three, that was the Takana. So says Gemara, lo, takzatayin, dano, something. Either way, that's wrong. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he makes a claim out of the blood, meaning that the blood after the Bi'ur Rishona, that's the reason that we make the claim. That is more effective because that's a real proof, and that's not a raya that Pesach Pasuach based on the Mishnah. That's not a raya necessarily that it was asked for. So says the Gemara, Amar Vida Mar Shmuel, Amar Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Neman Lav Sidak Subasa. That if a man says that he found a Pesach Pasuach, this is a very big chiddush. We just thought that it was Shavu Nashach Hati Chadi Surah. So Shmuel is now extending that even further and is saying that even he would be believed to Neman or Ksuba. Why? So that's based on the word that later we're going to see the concept of Enodam. He's going to make a whole suda, and then be master of the ksuba. He's spending $100,000 on a wedding just to get her ksuba money, which is probably going to be less than that. So then, or I don't know the times of Gemara, obviously, but I don't know if that. But it's a very significant amount. It's significant enough to the point where we'll say, we'll say that really, maybe he doesn't want to be master of that, and therefore he'd be nemant even to be master of the ksuba. There's a big shaila that has shown him whether or not this is disagreeing with the previous statement of Elazar. Obviously, he's ossering her. That's kolchik, and that's for sure. Everyone agrees to that. But would Rabbi Elazar agree to this statement that you'd master the ksuba? That's a machlokas, a big machlokas Rishonim. Says Amar Vayit, Amar Yosef, Mike Mashman, Antonina. There's a very Mishnah that says, the Mishnah tells us that if you have, if your person's eating by his father in law's house, mentioned, right, they would specifically have Bia there. So in order that if the people of B'nai Romi would then violate her, then she would want to be with her husband, it wouldn't be bonus. So the Gemara says, but he could not claim that she was Tanas Basulim after they married, because we're assuming he's including himself with her, so he pashtas had Bia with her already, so he's not Neman. So the Gemara says, but Yehuda lamatzatan. So in Yehuda, he cannot make such a claim. Habagala matzatan, or Galil, or anybody else in Eretz Yisrael where they don't miyachid with them, they don't have a seclusion. So then the halacha would be that you're not allowed to make this taina. So the Gemara says, ulamai, which halacha is this that Yehuda can't make a claim? Ila osra lav yira my law. If it's all to ask for him, so we just mentioned shavya nashikati gisra. We're not neman. Of course you are. You're neman and not get anything in the world to make something usra to you to say that this is usra. If someone saw shchita 100% say it's kosher, you said you know which treif it's 100% treif. So for you, it's usra to eat it. Who cares? We don't have edim against. If edim come and say that it's not treif, you're not allowed to eat it. So that's all shaila. This is when the whole lumdus daf says. Okay, so this says in Gemara. Love lavsida ksubasta. Rather, this in the Mishnah's case might be talking about to be to removing her ksuba. So therefore, it's the whole nafkamina is to take away her ksuba money. So udugata and taina, and his mother's making a taina. My love to katan taina pesach pasuah. So isn't that what he's saying? To pesach pasuah says we're low. The taina taina has tamim. It's a tongue twister over here. That he's making the claim against the blood meaning, which is more supportive, not necessarily pesach pasuah. So we don't have a raya that pesach pasuah is neman afsida ksubasa based on that mishnah over there by the Yehuda Gadol. Okay, be'ezus Hashem. We'll pick up with daf. I don't know if I'll get the recordings of daf yud. Then Shabbos daf, and then daf yud aleph. Be'ezus Hashem with the recordings. Maybe if I have a chance to try on Friday to do daf yud. Okay. Shkoyach, this is one of my favorite topics to do. Shkoyach Gadol.